92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and DStv channel 856.
In this hour, I'm going to be speaking to Micah Reddy, investigative journalist at Amapungani for investigative journalism, and Stephans Bremer, investigative journalist and co-founder of the Amapungani Center for Investigative Journalism, on this week's explosive two-part story, Millions Out and Billions In, Majola's investment in ANC and EFF, which exposes the hoard of government contracts Majola's LTE Consulting accumulated over the years, whose value can be measured not in millions, but in billions. You might have read that story, the two-part story in the Daily Maverick this week. And we thought we'd invite Micah Reddy and Stephans Bremer to join us this evening. And they join me now on the line. Micah, is it Micah or Micah? How do I say it? Is it Micah?
It's Micah.
Thank you very much, Micah. I appreciate it. And thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Stephans, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate your time. Hello, Stephans. Are you there?
Hi. I'm hearing you now. Thank you.
There you go. Thanks very much for joining us. I really appreciate the time that you're giving us. An explosive two-part story that you've co-authored about a one Majola, who is, I suppose, the founder and CEO of LTE Consulting, and how he has been very magnanimous and generous to the ANC and the EFF in terms of donations and so forth. And you seem to be linking it to some form of largesse, patronage, but with a specific ulterior motive. Micah, care to tell us a little bit more?
Sure. I mean, it's a little bit of a meandering story in the sense that there are all sorts of different kind of components to it, and we've written it in two parts. But yes, at the center of it is this politically connected businessman, Thulani Majola, and his company, LTE Consulting, and they've been in the news quite a lot. Listeners may be familiar with them. As recently as earlier this year, I think it was, they were in the news in connection with questionable PPE contracts.
Yep.
Anyway, so basically the story in a sort of, in terms of the broader angle, looks at how Majola built up this patronage network and paid millions and millions, over 14 million since 2016 to the ANC and over 3 million to EFF leaders, and mostly Malema, but also to the Secretary General of the EFF, Marshall Dlamini. And there are two, it's a sort of partition story. The first part looks at Giani, the infamous Giani water scandal.
I remember that, yeah.
Beg your pardon?
I remember the infamous Giani water scandal.
Three billion rands
paid by the taxpayer for a water project that never really materialized, yeah?
Yes. It's been dragging on for years and years. It started as an emergency intervention under then Minister Nombula Mokonyana, and it started as a very targeted intervention, roughly 100 million rand worth of work that was to, you know, drill boreholes and fix up water infrastructure. And over the years, it ballooned in ways that were very irregular. The SIU drew attention to how the project was manipulated, how there was no competitive tender process, and a whole lot of other jobs were sort of stacked on top of the initial emergency parameters. So that in the end, it was a 3 billion plus rand contract that never really delivered, in the sense that the people it was supposed to deliver clean water to are still without water. And LTE was at the heart of that. It was the lead contractor. At the height of the sort of political storm around this, when there was a whole lot of negative media attention and calls for this, calls from within Parliament and opposition parties and the public for this thing to be seriously investigated and to be terminated. At the heart of that, that was 2016, and it was also an election year, and it was when LTE was feeling particularly generous towards the ANC. But also in that year, Malema was campaigning in Giani. It's in his stronghold province of Limpopo. And shortly after that, that was around March, if I'm not mistaken, shortly after that, money started flowing into this account of Santa Clara. And Santa Clara is this company that's come up before in our investigations and is a front company for Julius Malema. And so an initial payment of $500,000 was made, and then we saw continuous payments after that.
From LTE?
I beg your pardon?
From LTE. You say an initial amount of 500,000
rand. So in this critical election year, do you remember this was the first time that the EFF were contesting local government elections? And in this year, LTE started paying the EFF, but at the same time, they were paying the AAC. So this is a case of Majola sort of backing both sides, right? Not wanting to bet all on one horse. And the EFF turned out, I should also mention, this was a time when Nomvula Mokonyane was the ANC's head of elections. And the EFF turned out to be quite dependable allies, because at the height of the storm, Malema intervened in quite an aggressive way, together with Floyd Shivambu, his deputy.
To the benefit of LTE?
To the benefit of LTE, this company that was the subject of so much scandal. So they intervened, they put a lot of pressure on the minister at the time because there were delayed payments. They also wrote to Treasury. They sent a very threatening letter, circulated a very threatening public letter that basically was a sort of threat letter to Mokonyane. It had all sorts of veiled threats and accusations because allegedly she was withholding, or the department was withholding payments. But while they were doing this, I mean, the EFF were talking with a forked tongue here, because while they were doing this, the EFF MP on the Public Accounts Committee, Veronica Mente, was quite vocal. She was quite outspoken against LTE. She named LTE, she called out LTE by name and drew attention to allegations of corruption surrounding this company.
Is that not where the problem is, Micah? But let me bring Stefans into this conversation. I'm sure that you have done your work in being able to trace monies going into certain accounts, whether they be of the EFF, their leaders, or the ANC, right? But somebody might argue that, well, you know, business people donate to political parties all the time, and it's no strange thing that business people will donate to two different political parties at around the same times in their quest, in their desire to see democracy deepen, right? And the fact that in this particular case, one of the leaders of the EFF was very vocal against the LTE shows that there was no quid pro quo kind of relationship between LTE and specifically in this particular case with the EFF. Stefans, would you care to comment on that?
Yeah, look, I think that would be one way of looking at it. Another would be that, and perhaps a more likely explanation is that Victoria Mente did not know that a party was being looked after, gratified, put what you want, by this business person. And then the problem comes in there that the member of that party, who happens to be the leader, who for a fact knows that there's this gratification happening because it's his very own front company. And one can debate whether it's more him or whether it's more EFF, but the evidence points more towards him personally benefiting. That he is then taking a position effectively in support of LPE, even when the person who is more gripped with the matter from a kind of a policy and facts point of view is being led by those facts to take a position against LPE.
Yeah.
So the problem is really one here And I think in a way, what we're trying to demonstrate with these stories is not necessarily, you know, to say that someone is being bribed to give tenders or to take specific positions. What we're saying is that the way things pan out here and do tend to pan out in general in our political system is that there are these huge conflicts of interest that arise and that cheat us, the voters and the public, of the knowledge that we deserve to have to judge our politicians' actions. So, yeah, we don't know as voters that Julius Malema is receiving 3 million rands while he is acting in certain ways, using the public voice that the voters have given him and entrusted him with. To advance the cause of LP.
I suppose I was going to ask that question earlier as to, is this a criminal issue, criminal story, or is this a political issue? And I suppose at some point those two things do converge. But let's stick with the technicalities here. So it's interesting that you speak of the ANC, but not specific leaders that have received money. But you also, but when speaking of the EFF, you speak of Julius Malema receiving money and possibly the EFF receiving money from the LTE. Just talk to me about that, Stephans, because it sounds as if there is a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of imbalance there, if it's fair to put it that way.
Yeah, look, I think we're simply writing our story road to the facts there. And so, to be clear, the donations to the ANC were made to, from the evidence that we saw, were made to ANC accounts. So accounts of the ANC in Ekurhuleni, of the national ANC, i.e. the Tuli House, and in KZN, but in each case to an account, a recognized account of a party structure. What we saw in the case of the EFF was payments going to the accounts of Santa Clara, which is a company ostensibly controlled by Julius Malema's relative, but we know from the evidence controlled by himself and from which he personally benefits, as well as the party to an extent, and also payment to a company called VMM Media and Entertainment, which is a company controlled by a relative of, ostensibly controlled by a relative of Marshall Dlamini, the Secretary General of the EFF. But again, with the large measure of justifiable suspicion that it is in fact Dlamini himself, which is the ultimate controlling hand of that. So there is a factual distinction here between the two, and that's what we wrote to.
All right.
Yeah. I think just to point out perhaps one other thing, we did on the ANC, there is some personal kind of factor at play in the sense that, and we highlighted this, the role of Nomvula Mokonyane, because as Minister of Water and Sanitation, she was at the top of the structure which awarded some of these contracts, like Yani, to LTE. On the other hand, she was the ANC's election head at the time, so she had a direct stake in election funding that was being received by the party, and we highlighted that.
Micah, I suppose somebody would ask for all sorts of proof, and I see that in the articles, both parts of the articles, you provide proof, you provide timelines, you provide figures, you provide bank accounts into various bank accounts that the recipients of these monies received, right? But someone might argue and say, sure, fine, we could agree that money was paid into these accounts, both of personalities in the AFF and the ANC. But how do you establish a causal link between the payment and the receiving of a contract? How do you have some proof that says when payment X was made, contract X was then made available to LTE?
Well, I mean, that is the problem, and I think, you know, we in the article we don't go beyond what the evidence suggests. There are, as Stefan's mentioned earlier, what we are talking about here is a sort of general attempt to keep politicians on side and to keep them sweet, and that's you know, that serves the interests of businessmen who are willing to shower largesse on politicians in all sorts of ways. Sometimes, you know, looking at the evidence, it's tempting in a few cases to look at a payment and to associate it with a particular tender or a very particular favor.
Yeah.
So in the case of a major tender that LTE won from the city of Ekurhuleni, there was a payment to the ANC in Ekurhuleni just days after that. Similarly, in KZN, the company won a major tender, 100 million rand tender, and a few days later, a payment to ANC KZN. But beyond those two payments, you know, we can't really link these regular payments from LTE to the ANC and the EFF to particular favors and particular quid pro quos.
Yes,
which we say quite clearly in the article that, you know, this is about a sort of general relationship that yields certain conflicts of interest and, as Stefan says, you know, keeps the public very much in the dark. I mean, really, it's about what I think the two stories highlight is how, you know, pervasive political funding rules and shortcomings in procurement systems and a bureaucracy that's very susceptible to sort of political influence creates this kind of perfect storm where you have politicians placed in positions of conflicted interest, as in the case of, say, Malema shilling for this company while you know, using his power as a political figure to back this company that's embroiled in scandal, and it creates a sort of general kind of corrosive effect on democracy and accountability. But we're not saying, you know, that X payment is linked to Y tender and therefore it's a criminal act because you know, there's gratification here, it's effectively a bribe. That's not what the article is saying.
So, I mean, I've heard, Stefan, and help me through this one. I've heard that, you know, big companies, big banks have been since 1994, and that's part of the reason why we are seeing the emergence of this political party funding act, because it does tend to sort of muddy the waters, right, in terms of the intent. Of course, we hear that corporate South Africa, the private sector, is donating to political parties in order to entrench and deepen democracy, whatever that means. But, I mean, it's been happening since the beginning of this democracy that people in the private sector will donate money to political parties. Why do we not see criminality in the donation of money to political parties by the big banks, for example, or the big mining companies who will give money to various political parties, big money? Why do we not see that as somehow eyebrow raising?
Yeah. Look, I think that we... One has to distinguish probably between different levels of attempting to influence. So one could look at the kind of very highbrow giving, which is the kind that many banks would probably, and the big mining companies, the blue chips would engage in, and where it's really an attempt to kind of influence an entire system towards their value systems and their kind of, you know, call it capitalism if you want, but kind of to keep the politicians sweet in the most general kind of sense. Then you can get a bit more specific He wrote, for example, some years ago about Kathy Peck and how it had composed or allowed to be composed for the E structure, yeah. which really, to a large extent, became an ANC individual, an ANC party funding structure. And I think, you know, at that level, one sees perhaps that the problem is a bit more focused than it is with this kind of very generalized thing. And then you can go down to examples where it becomes increasingly pointed and increasingly problematic on the kind of the criminal spectrum. So I would, for example, group in that last class the kind of thing that he wrote about again in relation to Malema's companies. We're talking here about Mauna and again Santa Clara, the one that came up now, as well as BNN Media, Marshall Dominique Company, receiving, I think, over the course of the year, 15 million rands from a man called Hendrik Kanyaho, whose company, BTP, had just won like a half a billion rand fuel tender from Tshwane. And in that case, there's very, very direct correlation between the stages of the tender and in the payments received by BTP once it had won the tender, and even evidence in the banking information, for example, the payments to Santa Clara or Mahuna saying fuel payment. So there's no doubt, you know, that what this relates to. And this was at a time when the EFF was really the kingmaker in the Tshwane Council in partnership with the DA. So yeah. one is talking, you know, about a very specific ability to influence outcomes in the city and then a very specific tender. That these payments appear to be connected to. And yes, then one gets to the criminal yeah. factor. But yeah. I agree with you when the one doesn't excuse the other.
Yeah.
The bigger picture is also corrupt. Perhaps to quote the often misquoted quote from Judge Hilary Squires, the generally corrupt relationship that there existed supposedly between Jacob Zuma and Shabir Shaikh.
Micah, during that period, 2016, where we see money flowing into at least one of the Malema-linked companies, and I'd be interested to know how you guys know that this is a Malema-linked company beyond the fact that the person who's supposed to be the owner of the company is a Malema relative. But during that time, the DA was perhaps even more powerful than the EFF. Do we see any flows of money from somebody like LTE's Machola? Do we see money going into the DA? And I ask the question because based on what I'm reading from your article, the picture is painted that here's a guy who makes himself friendly with political party influences, right? Political influences. And clearly he spreads his largesse for the ANC and the EFF. But does he do that for the DA? And if not, why not? Because the DA would have been as influential and maybe even more influential in the Tshwane context. Micah?
Look, at one stage, Majola and I sat down and had an interview, and he tried to say that, you know, he was basically just a generous political benefactor of all the parties. There was nothing special about the ANC or EFF, or there weren't particular reasons he donated to them, because he also donates to the PAC and the DA and all the other parties, is what he told me. He then sort of contradicted himself. But there's no evidence of him having donated money to the DA, or as far as I can tell, any other party other than the EFF and the ANC. As to why, I think you'd have to have him on the show. I can't speak for him. But I don't think, as far as I know, he's not a big player in Tshwane. you know, Ekurhuleni has become a cash cow for his company. He's also been quite prominent in Bloemfontein. He's had tenders in KZN and in other parts of Gauteng. And of course, Giani.
You understand why I asked that question, because one of the propositions of your article is that here's a guy who is, in the kindest way, an astute businessman who spreads his largesse to certain political parties so that they can influence tender outcomes, business outcomes. And one wonders why it would only be, if that's the reason, why the spreading of that largesse would only be to the EFF and to the ANC and to the ANC and not to the DA. I mean, if that is the primary reason for his toenadering, Stefans, to these political parties, why is he not toenadering the DA and using the same modus operandi to say, I'm deepening democracy, I'm supporting political parties? Why is he not doing that with the DA?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. At some stage, he made the claim that he did spread that largesse widely, including to the DA. But certainly from what we saw, and we saw quite a lot, there were no such payments. We saw payments only to the ANC and EFF. It may be the way that things panned out historically, you know, that he had an in with the ANC, and that then Kang is entree to Limpopo, where Malema was strong, and come the local government elections in 2016, where the EFF was clearly positioning itself as a kingmaker, and then in fact turned out to be that, you know, that became the next bet. So, okay, I'm a backer of the ANC, now I'm going to have to be a backer of the EFF too. It may be as simple as that. Perhaps the DA would have been the next stage, but we haven't seen that yet.
Is there, and I don't know whether you've had this response, but I'm asking myself, is that not how political parties and people in the private sector behave under any circumstances in any country, where people that are considered to have some political influence will be approached by people in the private sector for that influence, and they do it all over the world? Somebody might ask and say, it's done all over the world. I'm so sorry. Where's the crime here? Micah?
I think all over the world, the voters and the public has a problem with that. Civil society has a problem with that. And I'm pretty sure it all goes to motive, how criminal or not it might be. But clearly the core of the problem here is if our politicians are accepting money, and the more so if they do it, as we see with Malema, doing so into private accounts rather than into party structure accounts. And if as a result they are in a conflict situation, which is not declared to us, the voters, where they find themselves then in fact acting in favor of those interests, and still not declaring to us, the voters, that, well, by the way, we also find being funded by these people. And perhaps our lifestyles are being funded, not just our electioneering and the like. You know, then clearly it is very problematic. And this is the kind of, I think this is what Watchdog, this is really what Watchdog journalism comes down to. It is these kinds of trends and specific instances that we have to highlight.
Give us a call on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567 as I speak to Micah Reddy, investigative journalist at Amapungani, and Stefans Broma, investigative journalist also at Amapungani. And a very explosive story they've written over this in this week. Millions out billions in Majola's investment in ANC and EFF, which exposes the hoard of government contracts Majola's LTE Consulting accumulated over the years, whose value can be measured not in millions, but in billions. Tell me about the links to these companies. You've spoken about the links that certain companies have to certain individuals, including Malema, Marshall Dlamini of the EFF. But tell me, perhaps, first, how is it an ANC donation? Is there an individual connected to it, or does money go into an ANC bank account, the organization's bank account? And have you spoken to the ANC to say, do you realize that you've been receiving money from this business person under these circumstances, which may create this this impression? But secondly, how do you come to know, or what proof do you have that the companies linked to the EFF leaders are such that they are linked to EFF leaders? Micah?
Well, let me start with the first part about the EFF payments. These, as far as we can tell, these payments are to ANC accounts. They contain references that suggest ANC, a particular ANC structure. So there'll be, for instance, ANC Ekurhuleni, ANC KZN, ANC Gauteng, etc. They're quite clearly payments for particular party structures, not as was the case with the payments to Malema and Marshall Dlamini, to accounts that are fronted by relatives of the politicians concerned and that seem to mix personal and party funding. This story does have quite a long backstory, and as Stefan's mentioned earlier, we have been looking at the EFF and tender corruption in Tshwane and in Joburg in particular. And these accounts had come up before, DMM and Santa Clara. And another account that perhaps listeners would be more familiar with is Mahuna. We're not the only ones who've written about Santa Clara and Mahuna. Mahuna is now Rosario, by the way. And there's an interesting story in the naming of those two accounts that we can get to. But Mahuna has been quite comprehensively written about. Pearlie van Wyk wrote an article in which she tracked the credit card payments linked to Mahuna to Malema's movements. And it's clear that it is used for his own personal expenses, the credit cards that followed him around the country, but also for party expenses, so paying for various EFF-related matters. Similarly, with Santa Clara, there was talk, there were articles of some time back now linking it to certain sort of party funding activities. Both are fronted by relatives of Malema's. In the case of Santa Clara, a young man called Jimmy Matlibane, who's registered his address as the Sandown house that Malema now owns. It wasn't the EFF house, it's now owned by Malema through a trust of his. So, the evidence is quite compelling that these companies are fronts. I mentioned the names, Rosario, interesting sort of nod to a famous revolutionary here. Rosario is the city where Che Guevara was born. Santa Clara is where his remains were in a mausoleum in Cuba.
Right.
But also, there's a certain pattern in how these accounts operate. So, they receive money from companies that have been implicated in these questionable tenders, where the EFF was said to have been involved. They've also transacted with companies that have received VBS money. So there's a whole kind of nexus there with companies linked to Floyd Shivambu and Malema, and there's a sort of flow of money linking them all together.
One of the things you said earlier on, was that particularly with the, I think it was the Giani contract, that there was a member of the EFF leadership, who was quite adamant that LTE was not kosher in the relationship between the department and this particular contract, and was right. somehow overridden by Julius Malema. Why is it that in the article we don't get a clear distinction between the EFF, because it sounds from what both of you are saying that the EFF itself as an organization doesn't feature in all of this, that it is specific leaders, Marshall Dlamini, you've now just mentioned Floyd Shivambo, you've just mentioned Julius Malema, that these were the people that were involved in these transactions, or whatever interpretation you give those transactions. Why is it that there isn't that clarity that says it is these companies linked to EFF leaders rather than the EFF did this, which is quite different to the ANC, which received monies into ANC accounts? Did you see the difference, Micah? What I'm trying to understand is, why is it that the narrative of the article seems to be suggesting that it is the EFF, the political party that's involved, when there seems to be evidence that leaders have been at odds with some of their own operatives, in particularly the Guyana story, but also no money seems to have gone into official EFF accounts as they have into official ANC accounts. Why is that?
No, and that was probably a strategic decision on Majola's part. I'm not sure, you'd have to ask him why he decided to pay Santa Clara in particular. But, you know, no party operates entirely harmoniously. So, I mean, as we can see with the ANC at the moment, the fact that some in the EFF were perhaps on the receiving end, were receiving money from LTE and singing a very different tune to, say, the MP that I mentioned on the Public yeah. Accounts Committee.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that this funding was, you know, this funding was going to Malema, the individual, yes. I mean, he's a prominent individual with a mass base. But of course, I would assume the expectation on the part of a businessman who is trying to buy political influence, win over politicians, is that you're buying political leverage, and the leverage assumes the party. In the case of the EFF, you know, the party machine was leveraged to an extent, right? So Floyd Shivambu, for instance, writes as the chief whip in Parliament and the EFF deputy president. He writes an official letter condemning. I mean, there's a whole backstory to this that was a bit of a miscommunication, but condemning a decision that Treasury had taken to terminate the project. It hadn't actually taken that decision, but it's neither here nor there. And then, you know, party influence is being mustered here. Stefan explained earlier that, you know, Veronica Mente in Parliament may have been none the wiser to any of these payments, right? I mean, if this is going into a company linked to Malema, the individual, he would have every reason, you know, not to advertise it. Yeah. So it's not like everyone very few people, I would assume, in the EFF would have had line of sight of these payments. But it's clearly influencing how the party behaves, in the sense that it's influencing the behavior of the senior leadership. Stefan's mentioned that Mente in Parliament may have been, you know, operating based on the facts before her, and she was sitting in this committee being told about this dubious contract and cost inflations and this thing ballooning from 100 million to 3 billion and was operating as a parliamentarian. She had her scoper hat on and was doing her job. She probably didn't receive an instruction from Malema to behave in a particular way or another. Mm. And she probably, highly likely she wouldn't have known of these payments. But there also would only have been perhaps so much Malema felt he could have done to to lobby on behalf of LTE. So it's, you know, just because the payments were made to an account linked to Malema, you know, this account was, you know, it doesn't mean that the EFF as a party weren't influenced in this account. As I said earlier, mixed party and personal interests.
Give us a call. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this particular, double article written. You can find it in the Daily Maverick, and it's entitled Billions Out, Billions In, Majola's Investment in ANC and EFF, which exposes the hoard of government contracts Majola's LTE consulting accumulated over the years, whose value can be measured not in millions, but in billions. Let's talk a little bit about the ANC in all of this. I mean, you would have been privy to what has been happening in the Zondo Commission and the conversation that is taking place as to whether or not the corruption and malfeasance that we've been hearing about on the part of the ANC or ANC members was part of the normal behavior of the ANC. You would have heard former PRASA CEO saying that, you know, people want to give the impression, especially in the ANC, want to give the impression that it was few individuals, few rotten apples. And he was arguing that this is the ANC's general modus operandi. They went for the jugular as far as SOEs were concerned, and that's how they fed the animal, as it were, right? I'm interested to find out as to whether or not the ANC is aware of this kind of relationship that it had allegedly with LTE in this particular case, and that it was receiving monies for the purpose of being malleable, influential, in favor of LTE's Majola, Stefan. Was the ANC aware of this?
Yes, it's a good question. I think, again, to put the emphasis on the person of Nombula Mokonyane, because she straddled the two spheres of interest and knowledge, as it were, on the Department of Water and Sanitation side, where she was the minister, the Giani contract was under her. There's even an allegation that she had directly given the order for LTE to be appointed. So I think that's something that she disputes, but one also has to add that she did not want to answer detailed questions, give detailed comment for our article. And then on the other side of the equation, she was the ANC's head of elections at the time, so she had a very direct interest and I'm pretty sure line of sight into fundraising activities. And I think it's almost inconceivable that she would not have known that a very big donor like Majola was, you know, was donating to the ANC at that time. And that really puts her in a very tricky kind of conflict of interest situation, which is a general problem in our politics, the way that party funding is structured, but also makes it quite a specific problem for her, I think.
In your investigations, Micah, have you been able to collate and come up with a figure, for example, that so much money went to the ANC and so much money went to leaders of the EFF or the EFF?
Yes. For the window in which we had looked at the story from 2016 to, since 2016, 14 million, at least 14 million was paid to various ANC structures. And when it comes to the EFF, Majola paid over 3 million. Most of that, the overwhelming majority of that, went to Malema's account, well, Santa Clara. But a few hundred thousand was also paid to DNM. That's the company linked to Marshall Dlamini, the Secretary General.
How conclusive is your linkages of these companies, either connected to Malema or Dlamini? How conclusive is that linkage? And is it something that would be able to stand in a court of law, for example, to say that Marshall Dlamini is linked to such and such a company, or Julius Malema is linked to such and such a company? Different, of course, to the fact that these, with the ANC situation where the money went directly to an ANC structure or ANC account. How do you make that connection beyond reasonable doubt?
So if I can jump in on that.
Sure.
I think on the side, on the DMM, the Marshall Dlamini Linked Company side, we are open that the evidence to our that's available to us is not that firm. There's enticing evidence in the form of that there's a DMM group, and that DMM group was formed by Marshall Dlamini. It appears to be named after him. His initials are DMM, Dlamini Marshall, and then Benny's other name. Also that the person, the sole director of this particular DMM company, DMM Media Entertainment, is a relative of his, also a Dlamini. We have some circumstantial evidence kind of linking him to activities, fixing card activities, where you then see these kinds of payments also being dispensed. In respect of the Malema companies, the evidence is very firm. It's incontrovertible. We've had the Sunday Times also writing about it somewhat. One interesting tidbit which they published, which we also know to be true, for example, is that the SMS alerts when there's transacting on the account happening, well, that goes to Malema's number, not to the extensive director's number. If you look at the benefit from the expenditure on the account, that is...
Yeah. Let me take a quick call.
But then yeah. I think ultimately the question really is, who owns the company? That's another measure of that you're talking about.
And do you find that... The owners of those companies are the individuals you suggested.
This is where we know who owns it. We've gone through all of the processes to get that confirmed on paper. And you know, in South Africa, ownership is supposed to be there, open for the asking. So you ask for a company share register in terms of the act that has to be given to you in a certain space of time. These companies that refuse to give it to us, we've lodged all the appropriate complaints a year and a half or whatever later. We still have no results. So clearly someone is being very obstructive. But I can give you my word 100%. Those companies are owned beneficially by Malema, and I challenge him to sue us in court. And then we can subpoena all that is necessary to show the proof.
Well, he might not, because he might see you as part of a campaign to just smear him, and maybe would argue that I don't want to even give this kind of article the dignity it deserves by even, you know, taking you on. But I want to take a call from Anonymous in Pretoria. Anonymous, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aubrey.
Yeah, good evening, Anonymous.
And good evening to your guest today. What a great conversation indeed, with respect to the corrupt activities by political leaders of the most respected political parties in this country, the ruling party and the second and the third or opposition parties in the country that rule over. There's a point that I'd like to make that is overlooked far too many times. And the point that I want to make is this, that politicians in this country, particularly black politicians, have a tendency of displaying a high level of intolerance against white people in this country. And what owned media houses and companies, investigative journalists that are white in this country. And what I have often observed is that race is used as a distractive element to focus on the issues of corruption, or rather even allegations of corruption.
Anonymous, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. I've run out of time. I'm not even realizing that we've run out of time. Stefan, so I've got to thank you very much for joining me and talking to us about this article. Micah, really, thank you so much for your time. How do people find this article to engage with it?
They can find it on our website.
So, sorry, Micah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Micah. I was just saying that the easiest best place to read it would be amobungano.org, our website. You'll see the two articles right there on the landing page.
Well, I want to thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me this evening. Micah Reddy and Stefan Sbrema, both of them investigative journalists for Amabungane. And the article is called Millions Out, Billions In, Majola's Investment in ANC and EFF.